I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and Open to All. We're delighted you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now continue with hymn number 413.
Let us sing of Easter gladness that rejoices every day. Sing of hope and faith uplifted. Love has rolled the stone away. Lo, the promise and fulfillment. Lo, the man whom God hath made. Seen in glory of an Easter crown with life that cannot fade.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Easter. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. When Jesus had thus spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth, and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He saith unto them, I am he. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of justice, and it was early. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all over me, except it were given thee from above. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. After this, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. But Mary stood without of the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Acts. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by our leader, Mary Baker Eddy. Our Master fully and finally demonstrated divine science in his victory over death and the grave. Jesus' deed was for the enlightenment of men and for the salvation of the whole world from sin, sickness, and death. 3 days after his bodily burial, He talked with his disciples. Jesus' students, not sufficiently advanced fully to understand their master's triumph, did not perform many wonderful works until they saw him after his crucifixion and learned that he had not died. The resurrection of the great demonstrator of God's power was the proof of his final triumph over body and matter, and gave full evidence of divine science, evidence so important to mortals. The belief that man has existence or mind separate from God is a dying error. This error Jesus met with divine science and proved its nothingness. Because of the wondrous glory which God bestowed on his anointed, temptation, sin, sickness, and death had no terror for Jesus. Let men think they had killed the body. Afterwards, he would show it to them unchanged. The magnitude of Jesus' work, his material disappearance before their eyes, and his reappearance all enabled the disciples to understand what Jesus had said. Heretofore, they had only believed. Now they understood. Jesus' last proof was the highest, the most convincing, the most profitable to his disciples. The malignity of brutal persecutors, the treason and suicide of his betrayal, were overruled by divine love to the glorification of the man and of the true idea of God, which Jesus' persecutors had mocked and tried to slay. The final demonstration of the truth which Jesus taught and for which he was crucified opened a new era for the world. Those who slew him to stay his influence perpetuated and extended it. The lonely precincts of the tomb gave Jesus a refuge from his foes, a place in which to solve the great problem of being. His 3 days' work in the sepulcher set the seal of eternity on time. He proved life to be deathless and love to be the master of hate. He met and mastered on the basis of Christian science the power of mind over matter, all the claims of medicine, surgery, and hygiene. He took no drugs to allay inflammation. He did not depend upon food or pure air to resuscitate wasted energy. He did not require the skill of a surgeon to heal the torn palms and bind up the wounded side and lacerated feet. That he might use those hands to remove the napkin and winding sheet, and that he might employ his feet as before. Could it be called supernatural for the God of nature to sustain Jesus in his proof of man's truly derived power? It was a method of surgery beyond material art, but it was not a supernatural act. On the contrary, it was a divinely natural act, whereby divinity brought to humanity the understanding of the Christ healing and revealed a method infinitely above that of human invention. His disciples believed Jesus to be dead while he was hidden in the sepulcher, whereas he was alive, demonstrating within the narrow tomb the power of spirit to overrule mortal material sense. There were rock-ribbed walls in the way, and a great stone must be rolled from the cave's mouth. But Jesus vanquished every material obstacle, overcame every law of matter, and stepped forth from his gloomy resting place, crowned with the glory of a sublime success and everlasting victory. Glory be to God, and peace to the struggling hearts. Christ hath rolled away the stone from the door of human hope and faith, and through the revelation and demonstration of life in God, hath elevated them to possible at-one-ment with the spiritual idea of man and his divine principle, love. Jesus' unchanged physical condition after what seemed to be death was followed by his exaltation above all material conditions, and this exaltation explained his ascension and revealed unmistakably a probationary and progressive state beyond the grave. Jesus was the way, that is, he marked the way for all men. In his final demonstration called the Ascension, which closed the earthly record of Jesus, he rose above the physical knowledge of his disciples, and the material senses saw him no more. His students then received the Holy Ghost. By this is meant that by all that they had witnessed and suffered, they were roused to an enlarged understanding of divine science, even to the spiritual interpretation and discernment of Jesus' teachings and demonstrations, which gave them a faint conception of the life which is God. They no longer measured man by material sense. After gaining the true idea of their glorified master, they became better healers, leaning no more on matter, but on the divine principle of their work. Jesus could have withdrawn himself from his enemies. He had power to lay down a human sense of life for his spiritual identity in the likeness of the divine. But he allowed men to attempt the destruction of the mortal body in order that he might furnish the proof of immortal life. Nothing could kill this life of man. Jesus could give his temporal life into his enemies' hands, but when his earth mission was accomplished, his spiritual life, indestructible and eternal, was found forever the same. Through the magnitude of his human life, he demonstrated the divine life. Out of the amplitude of his pure affection, he defined love. With the affluence of truth, he vanquished error. The world acknowledged not his righteousness, seeing it not, but earth received the harmony his glorified example introduced. In his resurrection and ascension, Jesus showed that a mortal man is not the real essence of manhood, and that this unreal material mortality disappears in presence of the reality.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciple that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy.